Hey, my name is Amanda. I want to thank you for joining us today. We hope that this message inspires you, builds your faith, and helps you find your next step toward Jesus. Enjoy the message.
This morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times that was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Good morning. So, is it or is it not? Is it good for you or is it bad for you? I'm talking about the egg. I don't think any item in our diet has been more researched, more contradictory information, more studies done than the chicken egg, because it has had a lot of opinions written about it over the years. It all started back in 1968 when the American Heart Association, very concerned about growing levels of heart disease among Americans, came out with a dietary recommendation that Americans restrict their diet to 3 eggs a week. Well, that was kind of a big deal because a lot of Americans ate 3 eggs a day back in those days, and there was kind of sent shockwaves across the nutritional world. The egg industry shot back, and then there's been a number of studies because we knew that bad cholesterol is bad for you. Eggs are filled with cholesterol, so the notion was if eggs have a lot of cholesterol and cholesterol is behind heart issues, then it must be the culprit. Well, as you know, and if you've lived through these studies, more and more research has been done. Finally, in 2015, a number of nutritional associations came out and said, no, the egg is good for you. It's a good kind of cholesterol, and you can eat them freely. Thank you, Lord, because I love my eggs. A lot has been written about this, and a lot of us have paid a close attention. Why? Because we Americans are very health conscious. We really, really pay attention to our health because we are concerned about what we eat, right? And then there's these diets that come along, get a lot of attention. The keto diet or maybe the Mediterranean diet or whatever, because, you know, we want to be healthy physically, or at least some of us do. And so there's a lot of attention given to that, and that's good because our body is a gift from God. We only get one of them. And how we treat our body really matters. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should take care of our bodies. My question is, do we have equal concern for our soul? We're health conscious maybe, but are we soul conscious? Just like the food that we eat affects our body, the things that we take in, the things that we listen to that settle into our mind, that settle into our heart, affect us, affect our soul. In fact, the only way you can come to faith, where your faith begins, is by hearing. Paul says this in the book of Romans when he talks about faith. He said, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Now, I memorized that in the old King James where it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, the very fact that you come to faith in Jesus is because you heard a message and that message resonated with your heart and you accepted that message. The same is true for a lot of other messages in the world. They are communicated and they are taught, they are spoken of, and what do we do with them? What are we allowing into our minds? Because it really shapes who we are. And a lot of voices out there trying to get our attention. And I'd say, what grabs your attention grabs you. So it's very important that we pay attention to what we listen to. That's why Jesus, when he tells this first of many of his parables, he ends it by saying, whoever has ears, let them hear. That's kind of a cryptic saying. What does he mean by that? Well, let's talk about that today. I want to look at this first parable that Jesus gives. It's in Matthew chapter 13. Now, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the similar gospels. They're very similar in content, and they all have parables. John's gospel does not. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have this parable as the very first of the parables. And there's a reason for that. It is the foremost of the parables because understanding this one will help you understand the rest. And not just the parables that Jesus tells, the stories that he tells, but the entire message that Jesus is trying to communicate. That's why this parable is so very important. And it has three major components. It has sowing. A farmer is sowing seed. Seed is the second component. And then there's the soils. The farmer and the seed are constant in the four different scenarios. They are the same. The one variable is the soil. There are four different soil types mentioned in this parable. First is the hard soil, the path, if you will. And just like if you were to go out into a parking lot and start throwing some seeds around, they're going to bounce off. In the hard soil, they don't take root. Now, what do these represent? Jesus goes on later in the chapter, which I encourage you to read, and he gives an explanation for the parable. And he says the farmer is the communicator, the speaker, the preacher. The seed is the word of God. God's word. The soil is the human heart. And he describes four different kinds of conditions. The seed is the same, but what kind of condition it finds in your heart matters. So there are folks who are hard to the things of God. They just don't want to hear anything about it, and so they tune it out, and consequently, the word of God does not take root in them. We can go through seasons of hardness where we're not really taking in and listening to the word. So we have to beware of that condition. There's the second condition, which is the shallow soil, which represents the shallow heart. This person jumps in with a lot of excitement, but they don't last because there's not much depth. The roots don't go down deep. Then there's a third kind of soil, which is among thorns and weeds. And if you live in Missouri and you have a yard, you know all about weeds, and they take over, right? And he says this represents the crowded heart, where the very thing you want to grow, the desirable thing that you want to come up, doesn't, because other weeds come in and just choke everything out. And then finally he mentions the good soil that's rich and open to the seed, and the seed takes root, and it bears an amazing crop, incredible crop, a miracle crop, really. And so this is the essence of the parable, but what I want to focus on is what he ends it with. Whoever has ears, let them hear. In other words, there's more going on here, friends. There's more going on than what first appears, so listen closely, pay attention, really. Pay attention closely. Attention. It's a rare commodity today, right? We are attention deficit. We are attention scattered. Our attention is scattered across so many things. Now, this has always been the case. That's why 2,000 years ago, before there were any screens, any technologies, Jesus still had to say, pay attention. How much more so today? Isn't it crazy how many things are screaming at us, how many voices trying to get our attention, whether it's marketers or news organizations or social media. And if you notice, because there's so many voices in the world today trying to get your attention, because some of them, their businesses, their ability to make a profit depends on them getting your attention, because of that, if you notice, the voices are getting more outlandish. They have to say crazy things to get your attention. That's how you do it. And so there's all of these things. And so one person has said that we live amidst the war of attention. What is going to get your attention? What is it? Because what grabs your attention, friends, grabs you. In fact, our economy, you could say, is the attention economy. If we're paying attention, well, folks who are selling things can make a living, can sell their product. If we don't pay attention, not so much. And so, again, so many voices. And we live in the information age. There's more information available to us than at any time in human history. But is there wisdom to go along with it? Knowledge without wisdom can be a dangerous thing. Young author that I've come to admire in recent years is a guy by the name of Brett McCracken. And he wrote a book last year, I think it came out last year, called The Wisdom Pyramid. And he opens his book, I think, in a real clever way. I love the opening to his book. He says, "Our world has more and more information, but less and less wisdom. More data, less clarity. More distraction, less stillness. More pontificating, less pondering. More opinion, less research. More speaking, less listening. More to look at, less to see. More amusements, less joy. There is more, but we're less. We all feel it," he says. He says, "Our eyes are strained, our brains are overstimulated, and our souls are weary." And I think most of us can see that. As we live amidst the competing voices, the loud voices trying to grab our attention. And so he came up with this thing, this diagram called the wisdom pyramid. That's based off the food pyramid, which has been often debated. But in 1992, the U.S. Department of Agriculture came up with a visual to try to help Americans look at what they were consuming, their diets, and make wise decisions. So you probably have seen a version of this, right? And at the bottom are the foods that you should have the most of, bread, cereals, rice, group, and so forth, and then fruits and vegetables, and then meats and dairy, and then you get all the way to the top, and that's where dirty fries come in, okay? You can have that every once in a while. But you don't want that to be at the base. My son, David, he comes to town, and he goes to Burritoville, and he gets her dirty fries. You ever had dirty fries? It's fries, first off, then cheese, and then they take about 7 or 8 other things and dump it on. It's all high carb, high fat, you know, and he loves that, all right? And I look at him, and I say, "Man, I hope you know a cardiologist, but, okay, every once in a while, it's fine. You just don't want that at the bottom. You don't want to live off of that." We know that, right? We may not always do that, but we know that. So Brad McCracken says the same is true for what goes into our ears. We need to be concerned with the diet of information and voices that we're allowing to speak to us. So he came up with this thing called the Wisdom Pyramid, and this is his crack at it. In fact, it's on the cover of his book. And there at the bottom, which should, as disciples of Jesus, form the foundation and be the number one voice speaking into our lives, is the Bible, the Word of God. And that we should build our lives on that foundation, and then the church community and our spiritual practices. And he goes forth and, you know, nature and beauty and good books and music, and there at the top's a cell phone and all the stuff there, right? But what do? We take this and we flip it upside down. Now, if you want to see the words associated with that, he has that as well. It's the next one there. You know, the Bible, church, nature, beauty, books, internet, Twitter. Get very little of that, right? What do? We flip it. We flip it. And no wonder our souls are weary. What gets your attention? What grabs your attention? Grabs you. So let's go back to the parable. Jesus says, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." I have probably preached on this passage more, this parable, this story of Jesus, more than any other. And normally I give kind of balanced treatment to the 4 different types of soil, but I don't want to do that today. I want to focus on the last admonition about having ears to hear. And I want to focus on the third soil, because I think it is most relevant for us today, especially today. And that's where the word gets choked out by the weeds. When Jesus gives the illustration later, he says in verse 22, gives the explanation. This is one of the few parables that Jesus explains. So go ahead and read all of Matthew 13 when you get home. There's other stories in there as well. Verse 22, it says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, choke the word, making it unfruitful. In other words, Jesus is saying, here's a person, they believe, they trust Jesus, they begin following Jesus, and then life happens. Other things come along. And like weeds, they begin to choke out the word. We know the power of weeds. My very first garden, I was introduced to the power of weeds. I just moved this. We just come to town. I was in this house that the district owned. We start the church. And man, massive garden. I bit off more than I could chew. The thing was extremely big. And I was very busy. And I just couldn't keep up with the weeds. And we went on vacation. And I came back. And the weeds took over. In fact, I looked at it. And I thought, well, I could spend the next 10 days weeding this garden. I got my Roddy Moore and I just mowed the whole thing down. That's what weeds can do, right? Now, I love what Mark, this parable is found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Mark gives just a little bit of a different explanation about the weeds. He says, still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Again, this person starts out. They're following Jesus, but other things become more important. Wealth, money. A few weeks ago I said, we never see greed in our lives, but it's there. And it begins to choke out the good that God wants to do in our lives. The desires for other things. The noise of our world. And again, we are bombarded with voices and noises today. And so we've got to pay attention to the main thing. In the world of recordings, in the world of music especially, when it comes to audio equipment, there is this measurement that is used that's very important that tells you how faithful the recording is to the original. It's called signal-to-noise ratio. The signal-to-noise ratio measures when you are listening to this recording, how much signal, that would be the musical instruments, the voices, the stuff you really want to hear, and how much noise gets in. Now, back in the day when we had vinyl records and tape decks, you know, there could be the snap, crackle, pop, there could be the hiss, the background noise, a lot of noise that sometimes could really distract you from the signal. Even in our digital world, there is still noise that accompanies recordings. What you want is the music or the speaker or whatever it is you're trying to access. You don't want the noise. I think much of life is paying attention to the signal. That's God's word. Listening to God and the voice of His Spirit and tuning out the noise. Even sometimes when the noise is coming from a benign source, but it overwhelms the voice of God. In the early church, when Christianity became legal, if you know the history of the church, for the first 300 years, the church was persecuted. And then Emperor Constantine made Christianity, the practice of it, legal. And so one of the consequences of this was that it became easier to follow Jesus because you didn't have to worry about getting getting thrown in jail or maybe even dying. And so consequently, the church ranks swelled with a number of people nominal. And that in the fourth century, nominal Christianity was born. Nominal means in name only. And so the church got flooded with a lot of half-hearted followers of Jesus. And then on top of that, there was the immorality of the day, the evil of the day. And there were a group of believers who were so frustrated by the church being filled with nominal believers and the temptations of the day that they said they They needed to get away. And so many of them left the cities and they went out to live in the desert. And they lived in caves. They became known as the Desert Fathers. They were that was the beginning of the monastic movement. And what they were saying, you could debate their strategy, but what they were saying is, we gotta lower the noise level. There's so much noise. This is pre-technology. There's so much noise that we're getting distracted. We need to get to a place where we can hear God. And some of the most brilliant, insightful writings in Christian history came from the Desert Fathers. Why? Because they could listen. They had ears to hear. So, back to the parable. Luke signals us in verse 1 that something significant is happening here. This chapter 13 of Matthew denotes a significant change in the teaching ministry of Jesus. It says that it says, that same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Up until this point, much of Jesus' ministry was concentrated on the 12 and then the other band of disciples outside of them. Very little interaction with the crowds. There was some, but very little. Now there's a shift. He goes from equipping his disciples primarily to speaking to the crowds. And along with this shift comes a shift in his teaching strategy. He starts telling stories, parables. Not before this does he tell a story. In fact, after he tells this story about the soils, the disciples are confused. We'll pick up right after the scripture reading from earlier. And it says in verse 10, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? Again, he never spoke to them in parables. And they're like, what's going on here? Why are you changing? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. He quotes Isaiah, though seeing, they do not see, though hearing, they do not understand. Hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. What's he saying here? Why is he preaching in parables? Because now he goes to the crowds. And in the crowds, there's going to be folks who are sincerely seeking God. And they're going to be people who are just there for the curiosity. They want to see a miracle. Or they want to get a free meal after Jesus, you know, turns fish and loaves into a banquet. They got mixed motives, in other words. And he tells parables. Why? Because a parable takes a little more work on the part of the hearer. You got to work with it. You got to think about it. Now, Jesus could have easily just said, hey, folks, when the word of God is preached, there's basically four different ways you can respond to it. There's the hard-hearted person, and then there's the shallow person, and then there's the crowded heart person, and then there's the person with the good soil. He could have easily said that. Just straight out, he doesn't say that. And instead, he tells a story about a farmer and seed because he wants them to think. He wants them to engage. Jesus wasn't interesting in pandering to the crowds, to spoon feed them, to take them by the hand. No. He wanted disciples who were hungry, who really were going to pursue him. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. The half-hearted, not so much. To really hear the word of God, take it in. Listen to it requires some attention and intentionality. And so Jesus says, whoever has ears, listen, work with me here, think about it, engage, pursue, seek, and you'll find. Knock, the door will be open for you. Ask, it'll be given you. So we'll go back to the wisdom pyramid. We see God's word. And so is that at the base of our lives? Is that informing everything else? Is that shaping us? Because whatever we're listening to, you see, that's shaping us. And are we getting the most servings from that? Is that shaping our day? My purpose every day is that the first words I say is a prayer and the first words I read is scriptures. And I was pretty disciplined at that for a very long time. And I'd say the last couple of years, that war of attention, you know, has been there. And, you know, you get your cell phone, oh, I got a text message. Oh, that's cool. Oh, he asked me to read this article, so I'm reading the article, and that leads me to think, oh, yeah, the Blues played last night. How did they do? So I go to there, and then that leads me to this, leads me to that. You know what I'm talking about. We've all been there. And like 45 minutes later, you're like, what just happened? It's that war of attention. But it's not just devotional time. It's what is at the foundation of your life? What's speaking into your world? You can't get hours of this and minutes of this and expect the minutes to overcome the hours. What's filling your heart? We're rightly concerned about what fills our bodies. What fills our heart? So today we're starting this message series called The Version of Me I Don't Want to Be. Because we all know the reality that we're here, but we want to be here. We want to be more loving. We want to be more patient. We want to be more courageous. We want to be more brave. And we know there's a gap between where we are and where we want to be. The people we are now and the people we want to be. More importantly, where we are now and where God wants us to be. You're saying, what in the world does this message have to do with that? Good question. Because that gap can be either shortened, narrowed, or widened by what we pay attention to. What we pay attention to. What we listen to. What we spend our time consuming. Just like in the food pyramid, you consume healthy food, you're going to be healthy, more likely. Right? What are we listening to? It affects us. If you spend your life listening to fluffy stuff, you're going to become fluffy. Shallow stuff, you're going to become shallow. You spend all your time shopping, you're going to become materialistic. You spend all your time listening to the angry, corrosive voices, you're going to become angry. It's what you listen to. Shapes who you are. When the pandemic began a couple years ago, I was reading everything I could and watching the news and consuming a lot of that. And a lot of folks that I follow, wise people, even folks I trust and admire, started writing and they were trying to be helpful. And some of them were trying to tell, well, here's what's going to happen next month, or here's what's going to happen in 3 months. And they're all making predictions and some were really well-intentioned. Some not. They were just wanting to, you know, gain viewers and readers and listeners. And I noticed a trend that everybody predicting things about the future was almost always wrong. Because I don't know if you've figured this out. No one knows the future, right? And so I noticed when I would read these things about, you know, six horrible things that's going to happen in Christianity in the next 6 months, I started getting anxious. In fact, my anxiety levels went way up. So I made a decision. If it's an article about predicting the future, I'm not going to read it. So if somebody, even I respect, writes an article tomorrow, 22 things that's going to happen in 2022, I'm not going to read it. That's not going to spend. I've got other things I want to spend my time with. We'll get to the end of the year and evaluate the year, okay. Between now and Super Bowl, there's going to be all kinds of prognosticators telling us who's going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to read one of those articles. I'm going to watch the game. And if the Rams win, I'm going to take a brick and throw it on my television set. Now, thank you. I'm bitter. Please pray for me. I haven't gotten over it yet. Now, seriously, I stopped and made a difference. Had someone last night grab me talking to me in the lobby, and they said they've had a practice for years of consuming hours and hours of cable news. Cable news is like one of those things that should be at the tip of the pyramid. Get a little bit of it. but not a lot. They said, in fact, they're retired. They said, our television's always on, cable news channel's always on. So during 21 days of prayer and fasting, they felt the Lord leading them to turn it off. And they said, we did. And it was amazing how peaceful our home became. What grabs your attention grabs you. Now, here's the amazing thing. When we build our lives on the Lord and His Word, God does something incredible with us. He wants us to bear fruit. Jesus said it this way. Seed that fell on the good soil produces a crop. It says here, it refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, if you're not a farmer, most of us aren't, that may not strike you, but in the first century, if a farmer with his seed got a sevenfold return, that was really good. If they got a tenfold return, that was stellar. Great year. 30-fold? 60-fold? 100-fold? Are you kidding me? Jesus is making a point that when the Word of God becomes the foundation of your life and the thing you listen to the most and build your life on, you get wisdom. And wisdom pays off in many, many respects. The word that we heard to start our service, Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, nor walk in the path of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, which is another way of saying the scriptures. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of living water, and whatever he does, he prospers. Over and again, the scriptures tell us this. And it's interesting that over and again, the consistent metaphor or analogy for the word of God is seed. You know, power of seed. I'm growing a lot of stuff this year, and I'm growing it from seed, and I was planting yesterday snapdragon seeds. You ever planted snapdragon seeds? They are so ridiculously small, you can't hardly see them. I mean, it is a real challenge. So I'm trying to plant these things, you know, and I was frustrated. And Linda walks by. She goes, that's just miraculous. I said, what? That I can't see these things? She said, no, that tiny little seed is going to become this 5-foot plant. And I said, yeah, you're right. It's a miracle, isn't it? That's what God's word will do in your heart. If you let it happen, it'll do things you never imagined. In fact, exceedingly abundantly above all that you can imagine or think. When that's the primary thing we listen to, give ourselves to. Well, a few weeks ago, I told you about kind of the beginnings of one of our fine institutions here in town, St. Francis Medical Center. Let me tell you about another, Teen Challenge. Many of you are aware of Teen Challenge. It's one of many centers across the country and even world. I'll tell you how it all started. It was the 1950s. There was this young man who was a pastor at a small town church, in a very small church in a small town. And he had this crazy leading of the Spirit, that he should move his family to New York City and minister in Times Square. Well, understand, Times Square today is this glitzy, glamorous kind of place, a place to see and be seen, a tourist trap. Back in the 50s, Times Square was a cesspool of iniquity. It was filled with sex shops and liquor stores and sleazy taverns, and streets were filled with the homeless and addicted. And he moved and started Times Square Church. One night, he was watching television, and David Wilkerson felt that God spoke to him. He was watching TV, and it was his practice every night to watch 2 hours of television, and he heard the voice of God within him say, "Give me those 2 hours. And I'll do something significant through your life." So he turned off the television, and he spent those 2 hours in prayer and the Word. Now, he was not saying, nor am I saying by telling this story, that watching television is a sin, unless you're watching sinful television. It's not. But he did. And people, dozens of people, hundreds of homeless, destitute, hopeless, addicted people started coming to Jesus. They said, what do we do? These folks are terribly addicted. And they believe that God called them to use the 12 steps and emphasize a commitment to Jesus. And they opened a house. And they were so successful at it, they opened another house and then another house. And well, that's how Teen Challenge was born. And today it is the most successful drug and alcohol rehabilitation center in the world. And it all started because a man decided to listen to God's voice above everything else. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that your word is true and it's good and it bears fruit in our hearts and our lives. Amazing fruit, miraculous fruit. Like what we have seen through the amazing ministry of Teen Challenge. Thank you that you speak to us today, if we would but listen. Thank you that you want to bear fruit through our lives. So help us to be very conscious about what we let in, what dominates our ears, what floods our minds, so that we could be the people you want us to be. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you enjoyed today's message, make sure to subscribe to this channel. Feel free to share this with others that God has put on your heart. To learn more about LaCroix Church or to find your next steps, head to lacroixchurch.org. Thanks again for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.